The reading is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 1 through to chapter 11, verse 1. This can be found on page 895 of the Church Bibles and also on the screen. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace, be strong now. Be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills that we may serve you today and always. Amen. Well, good morning. It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to be back. Thank you for your welcome. And apologies if I don't remember your names. It's good that God knows us by name, isn't it? This is the last in the series about the book of Daniel. And Phil spoke a couple of weeks ago about Daniel's prayer, talked about spiritual bifocals, how Daniel was willing to wrestle with God, to face the tensions and the disconnects between what he expected to see according to what he found in God's word and character, and what was actually happening in the world around him. I wonder what you want to see. My mum had her cataracts taken away about 2 years ago now, and I went with her, and it was a marvellous, simple procedure to all intents and purposes. But just before she went in, the doctor doing it said to her, "What do you want to be able to see afterwards?" He said, "I can give you a choice. I can put in a lens that will help you to read without glasses, or I can put in a lens that will help you to see in the distance." She'd been short-sighted all her life, and since she was a very little girl, had really hated wearing glasses. And she's a bit wobbly, so we decided that it would be good for her to be able to see the distance clearly, and she didn't mind having to wear glasses for reading. But it was a choice that she had to make. What did she most want to see? Today we're seeing a different perspective on Daniel's relationship with God. As Daniel has remained focused through prayer and fasting, he hasn't had any meat or wine, we've heard, or used any lotions that would have soothed his skin in an arid climate for 3 weeks, because he is focused on his desire to understand what God would say to him. He has a vision, and some of his questions are answered. Now, after a lot of tussling with this chapter over the last couple of weeks, I asked myself, what's the most exciting thing about this passage? I've looked at commentaries. I've discovered all sorts of things about Daniel and exile, about spiritual warfare in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, about references and similarities to other biblical characters and events and passages, and I could tell you all about them, but it would take a very long time. And actually, I'm not convinced that it would challenge us to grow in our faith this week. So I've come back to that question. What's the most exciting thing about this passage? What are we going to understand or do differently this coming week because we've met together this morning and taken time to look at it? And for me, the most exciting thing in this passage is that having cried out to God earnestly with a real desire to understand what was going on, Daniel receives an answer and is touched by God. You've probably got a good idea by now of the sort of man that Daniel was. Today, we see what God thought about him. In verses 11 and 12, it says this, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed," other versions say "greatly beloved," "a man of quality." It goes on, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God," God loved Daniel and he respected him. He valued his attitude and his humility, and he knew just how dedicated and faithful he was. That meant that God could use Daniel in his plans. He spoke through him and demonstrated his power and protection when Daniel stood firm in the face of adversity. So Daniel's maturity and resolve are really noteworthy. not just from a human perspective, in which he had a good reputation, with national leaders even, but also in God's eyes, which was most important, which is most important to us. I have a confession that that's a really pertinent question for me at the moment. As I start this new job, I really want to be more concerned by what God thinks than by what you think about me. But there's a huge temptation to focus on living up to people's expectations and not upsetting anyone. We know that just as God loved Daniel, he loves us too. He looks at us today as his beloved children, and he longs for us to continue growing to maturity so that he can then use us to show his love and speak words of grace and truth into our world and the lives of those around us. Our younger son, Simon, was 21 this week on Thursday. It seems incredible that 21 years have passed since he was born. And it's wonderful to see him coming to maturity. We have in our sitting room a coffee table that he's made. He's doing furniture making. That's now his thing. He's on a course learning it. And I was thinking that he's made me many things during his life. And when he was little, they were always made with great love, but were sometimes really useless. Didn't mean I appreciated them any less. But now he's come to that maturity where I don't love what he's made just because he's made it. I love it because it's good. God loves what we do because we do it for him. It doesn't have to be perfect. He looks at us as a loving father and goes, I love the fact that you're trying. I love the fact that you're doing it. But how marvelous when we get to that point of maturity when it also becomes truly useful and helpful. Maturity isn't a case of always knowing the answers. I watched the beginning of this week's Apprentice. Actually, I confess, I watched it in bed this morning when I woke up on iPlayer. Maybe I should have been doing something more holy, but hey. And the first guy that they were focusing on this week was Joseph Valenti. I don't know how many of you are watching The Apprentice. It's one of those things I don't watch till the end because I get too frustrated at the beginning. But they were talking about this chap and his progression through the series. And one of the things that they said about him that they really valued was his ability to learn and to take on feedback. He came with real skills in some areas. But the one episode I watched, he made a complete hash of something. And yet on reflection, they were saying, it didn't matter that he made a hash of it. What mattered was that he learned from that, that he listened and he adapted what he did. What matters is what we do in stressful situations. Daniel had been in plenty of those, and we've seen in this book how he reacted. In a world where there was fear and uncertainty, Daniel chose to focus not upon the difficulties, but upon God, trusting in his plan for his people and being willing to be a part of that plan, however adaptable he needed to be, in whatever way God chose. I wonder if you know people that seem unfazed by life, that no matter what it throws at them, they can keep their focus and their trust in God. That, I think, is maturity. Maturity is not the same as success in the world's eyes. So we've seen earlier in this book that Daniel had a committed and a wholehearted approach to life. When he was faced with a difficulty or a puzzle, he stayed calm. He investigated the situation. He asked God about it. God answered. And he praised God in response and then did what he'd been told to do. We saw that when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and later when he was thrown into the lion's den for continuing to pray after King Darius's decree. Daniel saw God's strength. He chose to focus on that, where others may have seen only their inadequacy or human power turned against them. If we wanted to hear God, we need to learn to take time, to stay calm, to bring our difficulties and questions to him simply and honestly, expecting him to answer. And when he does, we praise him and we follow his instructions. Sounds easy, doesn't it? So I wanted just this morning to pause and think if there's an example of somewhere where we can try that out this week. As I say, we meet together to be strengthened, to go out, to grow. So I'd like you to think of something. It might be something major. It might be something pretty trivial in the grand scheme of things, but that matters to you. Is there a situation that's on your heart this morning that you would like God to speak into? I'm going to give you just 10 seconds or so to think about that. There we are. If Jesus was physically sitting next to you this morning and he could help you with that thing, if you could ask him about this situation or person or whatever it is, I wonder what you'd say to him. Okay, I want you to hold that thought and I want you to take it with you into this week. If you've thought of something, take some time, ask God to speak to you about it. You don't need to tell him all the details of the situation because he already knows. But you do need to tell him why it matters to you, why you care about it, and what you think you want to see happen that will bring him pleasure. And then you need to expect him to answer and be willing to do what he says. I'd really like you to share your prayer with someone at some point, if you're willing, in this coming week. To tell them what you're praying about, and then to go back and tell them when you hear God speak. We need to hold one another accountable and to rejoice together as we see God at work. So I said that the exciting thing about this story is that when Daniel cried out earnestly and expectantly, he received an answer. I'm not sure if it was the answer he was hoping for. If you read chapters 11 and 12, it's a tough time that's prophesied. But Daniel can be sure that God will be with his people and still has his hand upon them. Which brings me to the amazing part of this chapter. The messenger's interaction with Daniel. The description of the man is very like that in Ezekiel 1, where four creatures appear in a vision from God. And even more like the description in Revelation of the Son of Man, the ascended Jesus. This messenger, whoever he is, comes with God's glory and awe. Rather like Paul's encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, this is a vision for Daniel alone. Those who were with him by the river fled in terror. I think they probably realized they were standing on holy ground. So Daniel's been waiting for God to speak, and when he does, Daniel loses or surrenders control. He falls to the ground as if he's fainted. He's incapable of anything in the presence of this majestic figure. I wonder when we talk to God if perhaps we've sometimes lost sight of that majesty and awe that surrounds him. Sometimes we might behave as if we're just chatting to a friend, an equal, with whom we can agree or disagree as we like. And God loves us and he's very patient with us. And Jesus called us to be his friends. But I wonder sometimes if we regard God as the ultimate consultant. We're seeking advice rather than instruction, and my experience of consultants has tended to be that they're brought in and then ignored. We have free will. We can choose to ignore what God says. And we live in a culture where our rights are valued and protected, but our responsibilities sometimes seem to be optional. I wonder sometimes if we miss God's voice because we're not really willing to hear what he wants to say. When Daniel has his prayers answered, he's thrown completely off balance and is only righted when the man reaches out and picks him up. I'm really struck by the total surrender we see here. Daniel is determined, but not inflexible. He's humble. But we see that God doesn't actually want him to be afraid. God's messenger touches Daniel three times in this encounter. First, he lifted him up onto his knees and reassured him that he was highly esteemed, and instructed him to consider carefully what was said to him, to stand up. Then the angel messenger says, "Do not be afraid, because God has heard his request and is responding." How often that phrase is spoken in the Bible by God to people who are called to act. Abraham, Isaac, Gideon, Zechariah, St. John. "Do not be afraid," says God. What are we afraid of that stands in the way of us hearing or responding to God? Sometimes I won't ask a question of somebody because I don't want the answer. Sunday lunch, my husband Ian is wonderful at Sunday lunch now. I go home after a service, I collapse and I go, "Do you want me to come and peel the potatoes?" Hoping desperately that he won't say yes. I know that if I ask, I might have to do something when I hear a reply. Do we ever do that to God? Are we willing to be the answer to our own prayer? And if not, should we dare to pray it? If we pray for refugees to find a safe home, are we ready to work to see that happen? If not, should we pray it? God says, "Don't be afraid," because he knows our limits and he offers us all we need to do his will if we're willing. When Daniel's touched the second time, this time on the lips, like Isaiah, he confesses his weakness. "I'm overcome. I'm helpless. How can I talk with you? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe." Like Moses, he felt really inadequate, but he didn't carry on arguing with God, as I think Moses did for a while. Sometimes I wonder if we get stuck in prayer because, a bit like Peter when he stepped out of the boat, we start with great intentions, but then we get scared when we realize the enormity of what we're asking and begin to doubt that things can ever change. I've been with lots of people who have lost hope. And no matter what you do or don't have physically, the most devastating loss is that of hope. God reaches out as he did with Daniel. He touches those who admit to their weakness, and he brings light into the darkness. Sometimes in our prayer, God asks us to hold on to hope, relying on him for those we're praying for when they can only see the dark. We know that the dawn is coming. And the third touch from this messenger gives Daniel strength. As the figure says, "Do not be afraid, peace, be strong," it's at this point that the prophecy is relayed and explained. Daniel's response, we see, is again obedient and humble. "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." So as we pray and listen and respond to God's call to us, we can be encouraged by this triple instruction to Daniel. Don't be afraid. Don't let the storms of life overwhelm you, but look to God. Peace. Be still and know that God is God. Don't panic. Be calm. Find your balance and confidence, sure of God's love for you. And then be strong. Look forward with hope and firm trust in God. Daniel sought understanding and he set his mind and life on it. Phil said last time that Daniel's prayer was something that impacted the whole of his life. And we see today how God's response is one that affects him in every area, physically, mentally, spiritually. Daniel isn't the sort of person, I don't think, who could pray while he was doing something else. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Many of us find ourselves talking to God through the business of our daily lives. But Daniel was really focused, and God's response to him was really intense. Perhaps sometimes if we want God to take us seriously, we need to take him seriously. As we prepare for Christmas in this season of Advent, we're reminded of the need to wait expectantly for the coming King. I hope that you will take that thought of a situation or a person to pray for, that you will take some time this week to focus, to try that focused prayer, lifting it to God, listening for his response, and acting on what he tells you. If anything's touched a nerve with you this morning, or if you need someone to share your issue with confidentially, there are people at the end of the service who'd be only too happy to pray with you. Please don't miss the opportunity to act on God's word. I'm going to pray again, and I'm going to use the same prayer that I used at the beginning. Let's just pray. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills that we may serve you today and always. Amen.